Save over $200 when you book weekly stays with Vrbo this winter. If you haven't seen your college besties since, well, college, you need a week to catch up in a snowy cabin. Take a week-long vacation and save over $200. Book now at Vrbo.com.
Left is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance on this seventh day of November 2025. And tonight, our producer and board op is none of these. It's been a dream fulfilled tonight. He is here producing our program, and that is Dale. Hey, Dale.
Hello, Pastor.
There you go. That's a good response. Listen, and tonight we have with us, well, Wallaway out there in Texas, that man of high, high esteem, the statesman, they call him, none other than Big John McTernan.
Well, hello, Pastor Ernie. God bless you. God bless all our listeners. And may we have a wonderful show tonight.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's Friday night, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Dale, I hope you're not in the studio all by yourself. This is Friday night.
No, actually, Eric's here with me tonight.
Well, that's good. Keep him close by because strange things happen on this radio program on Friday nights.
You got it, Pastor.
All righty. So let's have... Brother John, would you please open us a prayer that God would keep the enemy at bay?
Yes. Yes, Heavenly Father, we're before you in the awesome name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Friday night in particular, Lord, there's been strange things happening through the years. We're asking for you can control everything, Lord. We're asking that you control everything tonight, that the show would broadcast to all the outlets, Lord. There'd be no noise interference or any type of interference, and that you would be glorified. At the end, we give a message of salvation and eternal life, and we want that to go out to all our listeners. So we praise you and thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, John. We have a prayer request to Marcy. Is a saved woman. She's an elderly woman. She's in a hospital with an aneurysm, and she's asking for prayer. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just want to hold up Marcy at this time, Lord, and ask, Father, Lord, that you would intercede on her behalf right now. Lord, all she needs a healing. And Father God, my prayer is your perfect will. You know exactly what Marcy needs, and that's what I asked her that you would give her, Lord, what you would have for her, and bless her in every area, Lord. Also, her dear friend Edna, who's calling in to make sure that she gets prayed over. These things we ask, Lord, in Jesus' precious name, amen. And so, boy, we have a lot to talk about tonight. I got a number of announcements to make. There's a lot of things happening for us. And our message, Scripture tonight, John, is going to be from Matthew 13, starting with verse 36. And do you want to, let's just go through this and just, you want to just read them a verse at a time, or do you want to read it all the way through 50 and then come back?
It's up to you, Pastor Ernie. I mean, one at a time sounds good, you know.
All righty. Okay. Let's start.
1336. Is that correct?
Yep.
All right. Matthew 13:36. And Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares and of the field.
Well, here he had previously talked to them about the tares in the field, if you would. And that's in verses, starting with verse 11 through, actually through 30. And here, one of the important things about that passage of Scripture, John, is that here there are many, many, the tares and the wheat grow up together. And the tares often look just like and sound just like the wheat. In other words, unsaved people will often give you, they have a profession but not a possession of salvation. And Jesus said the vast majority of people, that the vast majority that have a profession do not have a possession of salvation. This is why we preach so often on making your salvation sure, making your salvation sure. I don't know of anything I preached on more of that, John, than that, because there are people I know and here they don't realize it, but because they have a profession of faith, they'll tell you that they're saved, but their life tells you something completely different. I don't see the evidence there, and so I pray for those people continuously, some people that are very dear and near. So go ahead, read the next verse.
And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth this good seed is the Son of Man.
And of course, the good seed is the gospel of the Lord Jesus.
Right, right. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one.
We call them Democrats today, don't we?
Yeah. I got news for you, Pastor Ernie. There's a lot of Republicans in there.
Yeah, I know. But then we go ahead and the enemy that soweth them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And now that, what he's referring to when he's talking about world, he's talking about the age, aegion, the
right.
Sixth dispensation right. Period, as he's referring to, huh? Yeah. And the reapers are the angels. They've got their work cut out for them, don't they?
Angel, yes. I think we're kind of getting into that territory, Pastor Ernie, for the end of the world or the end of the age. We're pretty close to it now.
Yeah, you know, I know, but people are going to say, you folks have been saying that for years. Listen, we haven't had AI for years. We haven't had the things we're seeing happening now, today, where you have this Antichrist movement growing and growing, anti-Christian movement in this country. This hatred, I mean, a hatred you're seeing, a pure hatred for Christians and Jews today coming out, for all that is good. And it's coming from, you know, I think I'm going to come up with a new name for the communists and the Muslims, because they've formed, John, an unholy confederacy, an unholy alliance. What do you think would be a good term? Ka-Muslim? Uh-oh. How about Ka-Muslim?
Well, Pastor Ernie, they're just, what's the word? Opportunists, both of them. Neither one is strong enough to really, I'm going to say, do tremendous damage to America by themselves. But joint, there they are. They've got ideologues on both sides. They have on the sides, and teaming them up, they're real revolutionaries, Pastor Ernie. But the Muslims, the real Muslims, are just tolerating the communists. the real Muslims, the communists are all atheists, and that doesn't fly with the Muslims. And then the communists are doing the same thing with the Muslims. How are they going to fit Muslims into communism, Piston?
Well, they have a saying, the communists have a saying, that the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah, and so, right.
Now, I noticed something, though, that not all Muslims, I mean, not all Muslims are the radical jihadist types. There's a lot of Muslims, I think maybe even the majority of them, would just as soon live in peace. But they're not the ones that are running things. They're not the ones that are ruling in Islam. But with the communists, I mean, with all of the communists, as far as I can see, they're all completely wicked. What do you think?
Well, Pastor Ernie, I'm seeing this element now. They are they're woke. They are literally like insane. With they can't think, they cannot think, Pastor Ernie, and they're like a mob that's easily persuaded. And what's really caught my attention in this are the females, Pastor Ernie. They are especially radicalized and shocking violence that you really didn't see years ago, Pastor Ernie. Now, very seldom would you see a woman that was like really violent. Now you look at these crowds and you look at how they're attacking and what they're saying. I mean, there's a huge change in the females.
Well, you know, the Bible talks about how the enemy attacks men in the area of pride. You know, that's where, you know, from the time we're little, we're very competitive as men. You know, we've talked about this many, many times. I mean, and it's just our natural nature. You know, I can run faster than you can. My dog's bigger than your dog. My brother can beat up your brother. This is kind of a mindset that we have, and we start out with that, but then that evolves into other things. You know, pride. You know, what happens is, you know, you develop these egos. And, you know, as Paul said, don't think of yourself as something when you're nothing. And if we put everything in perspective, we have a lot to be thankful for, a lot. But we really don't have anything to be proud of, because every good attribute that we have comes from God. If we're smart, you know, we didn't give that to ourselves. God gave it to us. You know, We couldn't choose who our parents would be. We couldn't choose when we would be born or where we would be born, even what gender, you know, that we would be. And there's only two, anyhow. But that wasn't our choice. So all of these things that every, you know, good, if you will, merit, everything a merit that we have, is a gift of God, and so it's not something that we can claim. Just like our salvation, the greatest gift anyone could ever receive, comes from God. We can't claim any credit for that. But here with the women, these young women, John, when I went to college, I would say 70% of the students were males. I would say 70%. 30% female. That's changed. That's turned all the way around. Today, it's just the opposite. The men are going to trade schools. They're learning to be technicians, mechanics, plumbers, carpenters. This is where the money's at, air conditioning units. The money is there today in these trades. But the women are going to be social workers. They're going to be legal aides, or they all want to be lawyers. And so they go in all of these areas, and these are areas where are teachers that are dominated by the Communist Party. You know, the Communist Party, you know, they are in complete control, and they run all of the largest union in the country, the NEA, is a hardcore communist cell. So that's where they're being indoctrinated. They're not being educated. And they're being indoctrinated into this DEI and this woke thing. And they're the most easily indoctrinated. David Rockefeller knew that. He spoke of that. Anyhow, let's pick it up where we left off. So the Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of the kingdom all things that offend them which do iniquity, and them that do iniquity. So iniquity there, he's talking about practicing lawlessness, practicing lawlessness. Who do we know that's practicing lawlessness?
The Democrat Party.
I mean, they're totally lawless, aren't they?
Yes. Yes, they are, that's 30.
And so he goes on, and he shall cast them in a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And Lord's willing, John, I'm going to be preaching on hell this coming Sunday, Doers of the Word Baptist Church, because there's a lot that people have heard, but there's more that they've never heard about hell. And that's what we're going to take an in-depth Bible study Sunday morning, Lord's willing, at 9 o'clock, and then I'll be preaching on hell, because people really need to know. So out there, folks, call your unsaved friends out there. If you know any Democrats, tell them to listen in so they'll have a little bit of insight on where they're headed, huh?
Okay.
Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to let him hear. So he's talking about once the rapture takes place, the tribulation period, once it's over, then he's going to gather up. The angels are going to gather up all of the lost souls, huh?
Yeah, Pastor, there's going to be a big divide. The ones there that offend, that do iniquity, they will go into that, what the Bible describes as a furnace of fire. But the righteous shall shine forth as the sun. And the reason for that, Mr. Ernie, is Christ's glory is shining through us. That's why we have that appearance there that the Bible describes.
So we go ahead and we're going to read now. You know, sometimes you wonder why, when you're preaching to people, it doesn't register. Why it doesn't register. But then, again, the Bible itself answers that question, why it doesn't register. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And because, did you ever talk to people and you see they get that kind of glossed over look on their eye when you're telling them what they don't want to hear, what they want to block out? But if our gospel, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let me just read you. I'm going to read you verses 1 through 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor the handling of the word of God deceitfully. Does that describe the prosperity church, the word of faith movement, and the apostate church, John?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie. Anything that's not really centered on the gospel. Now, the gospel is what God's great commission, Pastor Ernie. We're commissioned to do that. And anything that takes us away from that, and then, of course, discipleship and all, that's not a really of the Lord, Pastor Ernie. You know, prosperity is something that God, you know, will bless us with, but it's not to kind of put our life in it. You know what I mean? It's not to make it the center of our life.
So when you're talking about the Great Commission, that's not an elective. That's something, that is a charge, is it not? For Christians.
Yes.
Then he says this. Yeah. Here. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And you know what? I know I've said this before, but I actually read this to a woman. She told me, she said, I don't know what it is, but I just, you know, I'm reading that Bible, but it just doesn't make sense to me. I just don't understand. And I don't know why. I said, well, here's why. So I read this to her. I said, let's look at this. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. And she said, I just don't understand what that means. Isn't that something?
Boy, it's really clear, Pastor Eddie.
Yeah. Going back over to where we were, when we talk about the parable of the hidden treasure, and the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure that hid in a field, in which when a man found it, he hideth it for joy, there go and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth the field. So now, he's making a point here. Sold everything. In other words, when you're talking about that, that you're willing to forsake everything to get to heaven. Remember what he told the rich young ruler? What you have to do?
Yeah, to sell everything and follow him.
And so let me tell you, let me ask you this. In heaven, is there anything in everything, in all the things that we have, all things that we could possibly own, is there anybody on this planet Earth right now that owns enough and they could possibly own more than would be worth giving up to go to heaven?
No, Pastor Ernie. No. You know, this life is very short, but in eternity, it's forever, Pastor Ernie. So nothing compares here on earth to eternity.
So he goes on to say, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And that's the same thing here. We're not going to take anything with us when we leave this world, okay? Our life in this world, John, the Bible says, is like a vapor, okay, that appears before an instant. Very short compared to eternity, huh?
But, absolutely, Pastor Ernie. There's another verse that's really sobering connected with that. It says, the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So, yeah, I mean, it's right there. The world passes away in the lust thereof.
And so he goes on and he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessel, but cast away the bad. So shall it be at the end of the world, that means the age, the sixth dispensation period, the angels should come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There should be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And there are... Why is it, do you think, that so many people have such a hard time believing that?
I don't know, Pastor Ernie. That's a good question. Because God is a good and loving God, and that's why he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross and shed his blood to pay the penalty for our sins. So God has provided the way out from eternal damnation.
Amen.
But I don't know why people have such a... Because you always hear, well, no, God is love, God is love, God is love. And that's true. But God is also just, and he's also holy, and he's also righteousness. He's also righteous.
So, do you think that there are people, because of technology that we have today, that just cannot get their wrap their head around, you know, that there's a burning lake of fire? I mean, you know, of course, if that was true, they'd be talking about that on the news. I mean, that's the mindset of so many people out there. Their eyes have been blinded by the God of this world. All right, we're coming up to a break. We'll be back right after this with more. Don't go away.
Big John.
He was born of Elizabeth, the son of Zechariah, sent by God the Father to proclaim the Messiah. He was as bold as a lion, he knew no fear. An awesome man in a coat of camel hair.
Big John.
Big John. Big Baptist John.
Big John.
In the wilderness of Judea, you could hear him there. He was preaching repentance. It was very loud and clear. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come, better listen, Pharisee. He preached to the sinner, the thief, and the liar. Only one way out of that burning lake of fire. The truth thundered forth from this righteous man, and those that believed found the promised land.
Big John. Big John.
Big Baptist John. Chosen by the Father to baptize the Son, it was there in the Jordan this awesome thing was done. The Holy Ghost descended as if it were a dove. A mighty voice thundered from heaven above. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. John, his friend, none greater than he. He told all the people about God the Son. He never quit preaching till the job was done. Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Now 2,000 years later, the story is still being told. How he was thrown into prison for being so bold. He was martyred for God. To him it was an honor. He earned himself a mansion in heaven way out yonder. Big John. Now John's enemies, they perished in their shame. But John took his place in the Saints' Hall of Fame. Now in heaven above, the angels understood. When John preached repentance, he sure did it good. Baptist John.
Big John.
Now there's one thing John wants you to know. It's a fearful matter to lose your own soul. So call upon the Lord while you still can. And better take the advice of this mighty righteous man.
Big John. Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John. Big Baptist John. All right, Big Baptist John McTurnan. Tomorrow, November 8th, Planned Predators, the most evil, wicked, creeping, crawling purveyor of death on God's good earth, killed more human beings than any army, Planned Predators. Tomorrow in Youngstown, Ohio, they're going to have a Freedom to Kill the Innocent rally, the Freedom to Kill the Innocent rally from 2:30 to 5 p.m., and that's going to be at 77 East Midlothian Boulevard in Youngstown. And that's again at 2:30 to 5 p.m. Now, a group of bold Christians are going to be gathering across the street to pray against these wicked people, to pray that God would bring these wicked, wicked people. In order to be part of Planned Parenthood, you got to be wicked to the bone. To bring those wicked people to repentance, that they would repent and come away from that, lest they spend eternity burning in hell. And so, again, that's tomorrow, and that's it from 2:30 to 5, and that's at 77 East Midlothian Boulevard in Youngstown. And they're looking for a group of born-again, Bible-believing, the real thing, Christians. Real people of God, if you're out there listening to me tonight, and those that listen early in the morning can hear, I would get out there, if you can, I would go out there and join them tomorrow. And that's at 77 East Midlothian. Stand up. Remember, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Go out there and make sure you let God, you know, you believe that. by taking part, standing with the brothers and sisters in Christ. That's tomorrow. All right. Got another announcement. House Bill 410, the Medicaid committee. If you is going to committee, well, actually, they had a hearing, I think, today on that. But anyhow, they want you, this bill, what House Bill 410 says, it takes away all money, all federal dollars from any Medicaid funds that for any organization that does abortion. Any of them that do abortions, any hospitals, whatever, that cuts their Medicaid funds. It's a very, very good bill, House Bill 410 here in Ohio. So please call or email your state representative and tell them, all you folks out there, tell them to support House Bill 410. Very, very important, House Bill 410. And then coming up, we're going to have another bill, House Bill 72, which prevents any state from spending money for abortions or any state funds going for abortions or euthanasia. Here, it's, you know, Jesus came to give us life and more abundantly. He tells you there in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 18, set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. So choose life. Choose life that you and your seed may live. And so that's what you got to do. Right, John?
Amen, Pastor Ernie. Lord wants us to stand for righteousness every way we can.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, John, do you ever remember, did you ever see that film, Escape from New York? It had Kurt Russell in it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then, you know, they just built a wall around New York City. And
exactly.
I think it would be a great idea to do that now. But can you imagine a remake of that movie? And you see, now, Kurt Russell, he was a bad guy, but he was promised that if he was to go in, and because of his ability, his great abilities, and recapture the President of the United States, which has been captured by Democrats and being held hostage, if he were to go in there and get him, then all your past crimes would be forgiven, and you'd be a free man. And so, and they wouldn't kill you, because other than that, they were going to kill him, see? So, could you imagine that movie being remade and Donald Trump playing the part of Kurt Russell?
younger Trump.
Yeah, but do you think the Democrats would be so overcome with Trump derangement that they would just be dropping in the streets? Anyhow,
Trump derangement it's real, Pastor Ernie. It is a real psychosis.
Oh, I know. Believe me. Have you ever heard of a guy named Barry Sotero?
That is Obama's another name for Obama.
Yeah, that was his drug dealer's name. His community was a community service and a drug dealer's name. But anyhow. Here,
what happened, Pastor Ernie? His last name comes from his mother married a man from Indonesia, and his name was Sotero. And Obama took his name.
Yep. Anyhow, but that was the name he used when he was the community organizer and a drug dealer. And then when he decided to run for office, he changed it over to Barack Obama. And anyhow, here, you know, there's a competition now, a big competition coming up between Barack Obama, who still wants to be the head of the party, and this new fellow, Zoran, and Zoran Dumani. Now, Zoran Dumani, or mean, is that Mandumi? What is it? Is that Dumani or Mandumi?
Now that you said that, I can't pronounce Mandumi.
But anyhow, there's company.
I don't know, Pastor Ernie, now. That's funny.
there's growing deception between Zoran and Barry Sotero, because they both want to be the head of the party, and now here Barry or Zoran is saying we've got to get rid of the old timers, the old guard. They got to go. They got to go, and that's the new theme there. And so, but you have some of these people that, and it's pathetic to see these senators, these Democratic senators, falling in line. And here, Bernie Sanders, you know, the Democrats threw him under the bus twice. In two elections, they threw him right under the bus. They told him, you know, go get at the end of the line, and you know, because he would have been beat out Hillary, okay. But now, here, even though they're going to throw him under the bus again, they're telling him, you know, we want new blood in here. He's still staying right in with the Democratic Party, and but he's making the point that they don't want him to make. And do you know what that point is, John? See, under communism, the collective, you have the 2% at the top, the card-carrying Congress. Those are the 2%. Those are the Bill and Hillary Clintons. Those are the Bill Gates. Those are the Faucis. Those are the people that are the card-carrying top, the elite. And Bernie Sanders is saying, unless we get the party back to supporting the working man, the grown, and get away from this, you know, the elites, we're going to, you know, the party's going to go down. It's going to, and what he's saying actually has some sense is true, okay, to a great degree. But they don't want him to say that. They don't want Bernie out there saying that. So they're telling him he's got to shut up. What do you think?
Well, but it's ironic because he's been such a good communist. he's such a good communist, Pastor Ernie. I don't know what year he was married in, but he purposely went to Moscow. And he was married in Moscow. That's how good of a communist he's been all these years.
But he's also talking about you got to get back to and get away from this elitism. You know, all
but
these millionaires.
That's what the Democrats are. The Democrats are they're all elites.
The party of the elites now. But now, see, Bernie himself, the last I looked, he owned three homes. And they were all big homes. They weren't little homes. They were big homes. Bernie has got a few bucks.
Do you know how we got that money, Pastor Ernie?
How'd he get it?
2016, when he was running against Hillary, he had won California, but they rigged it, and Hillary won it. So to keep him nice and quiet, they bought him or gave him like a million-dollar house and a ton of money. So he was bought off, Pastor.
Yeah, doesn't give a whole lot of credibility to what he's saying, does it?
No, no.
You know what's happening there? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, that's in Vermont. They love him. I mean, he makes no bones about being a communist and all that, and they've elected him year after year in Vermont.
What does that say about the people of Vermont, in your mind?
Right, Minister, but, you know, it's terrible.
It's almost like here, like saying, you know, you folks in Vermont, we'd like to come down and come in and just take your state and destroy it. I mean, I mean, you know, that's basically what communism does, right? I mean, is you know, Has communism ever produced anything good? Has it ever produced anything morally, spiritually, or economically good at all?
No, it's got an element of, like, death with it, Pastor Ernie. You know, death of anybody that opposes it, death of the family unit, death of businesses and money and income, you know, death of ingenuity and all. It's got this pall over it that's, and China realized that. So China, on one side, the way they rule the people kind of is communism, but on the other side, they've opened it up to be, well, until Trump was elected, more like capitalists than we are.
Well, that's,
so they knew they had to have a capitalist economy to survive. They knew that.
But they don't have free enterprise in the sense that only those that the state allows only can be use the capitalist
right
for.
Yeah, because the state controls everything, but they were smart enough to allow a long enough leash that the capitalism could function in the stock market and the kind of capitalism banks and the real estate and all, that they could generate a lot of money because they needed that money to build their military.
But now, in a sense, isn't that the same thing that kind of happens like in California with all of the tremendous amount of regulations, the environmental regulations and all those regulations? So the state's deciding who can be a capitalist and who can't, are they not?
Yeah, through regulations, yeah, absolutely. They can do that, exactly, yes.
We see that in Massachusetts too, don't we?
Anywhere, you know, like the Democrats are in control like that. That's, they'll talk about global warming, and then they'll structure their state and their city after the way that they can keep in power, like through I will offer you the control of a certain area and things like that, and then you've got that control and you don't let it up, and then you make heavy donations to the Democrat Party. That's the way they're doing it, Pastor. They're freezing everybody out just for their own Democrat buddies. And they're tightening down on everything. Now, Trump is trying to bust that all open and break it.
So when you had things like the Clintons, you know, made the deals with our coal, where we had some of the cleanest coal in the world here, mined here in the United States, but they shut down the export of our coals and then imported coals from China. You don't suppose that by agreeing to that the Clintons got a big kickback from China?
Yeah, anything like that, Pastor Ernie. The more they sold out America, the bigger the kickback they get. How's that?
So, like with Uranium One?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're talking about Putin being this monster in all of this. And Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, and she had to agree with that deal. So Putin got uranium, and she got a whole load of money. You remember that, Pastor Ernie?
Yeah.
To the United States. And a chunk of it went into that Clinton Foundation.
Do you remember when they raised, was it like, I don't know, it was an amazing amount, like $4 billion or more to go to Haiti when they had that real bad hurricane there that just destroyed the island?
Yes.
And it went to, went to the Clinton Foundation, and only 3% of the money that people gave to Haiti actually went to Haiti. 3%.
That's criminal. That is so criminal, Pastor Ernie. The poorest people in the world, I mean, literally, they're as poor as any country in the world, and they desperately needed some help. So the Clintons went out and raised all this money to help Haiti, and then they kept it. I mean, that is, and those poor. Pastor Ernie, do you remember there was a bunch of Haitians that were protesting this, and they were in New York City, and there was some trial going on about this. Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
One of the key witnesses, just before he was going to testify, he suffered from arkanside. Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
And all of a sudden, you didn't hear anything more about the trial.
Well, anytime anyone could have done any harm to the...
Yeah, the leading witnesses, Pastor Ernie, against the Clintons, in that he mysteriously died just before the trial.
Yeah, and a whole lot of people that could have done the Clintons harm ended up being arkansided, and I knew some of them. All right, did you know, did you see what Governor DeSantis is offering? The police officers, the New York PD?
Yeah, if the NYPD come down to Florida to become cops, they get a bonus.
Yeah, if they leave, they get, why do you think the NYPD is in a kind of a big hurry to get out of New York now?
Well, Mondami has said he wants to, he basically wants to do away with the police.
Not just that, but if they were to stay, they would have to be whores, huh? I mean, because they're not going to be able to do their job. They wouldn't be able to actually do their job. They would be lawless, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they would have to they'd have to be on the side of the criminals, Best Ernie.
Yeah, and so those that have an integrity. They're going to try to get those that can afford it. They're going to leave there, aren't they?
The smart ones will get out as early as they can.
I can tell you who's not real smart now. Lisa Page, Peter Strzok, John Brennan, and there's a whole list more. And what just happened to them just recently?
Well, Pastor Ernie, there was grand jury subpoenas issued to all of them to come and to testify before the grand jury about that about all the misdoings about Trump and how they had him set up with that Trump Russia rather.
So but here's go ahead.
Yeah, Pastor.
Well, here's their problem. You see, here's their problem. See, they don't know exactly how much evidence they have, you know, the burn bags and all of the emails, because they were managed to, and not only that, John, but they managed to go back and get recordings of a lot of these phone calls of Lisa Page and Strzok and all of that. You know, all of those phone calls they made for government phones, there was a record kept of them. And so not only that, but they have recordings, too, now of Hillary and Barack Obama. And so now when they're caught in, they're subpoenaed in, and they're used to lying. I mean, you know, that's what they do. They're going to be in a tight spot because they're not going to know exactly what evidence they have against them. Have you noticed John Brennan has been having some nervous breakdowns?
No, I haven't picked that. I wouldn't be surprised. But what they need to do, if I was them, and just like what you laid out, I would take the Fifth Amendment. I wouldn't say a word.
And so... But when you take the Fifth Amendment, you give up something, don't you?
Not that I can think of, Pastor. What would they give up?
I'm thinking, because, you know, I was told when you take the Fifth Amendment...
Now, if they were employees, that would be different. but they're just citizens now.
Okay. Anyhow, did you see how Nancy Pelosi, Nancy came out, she's been talking about her faith, her religious faith, how, and remember what happened when her bishop would not let her take communion. She went to the Pope to get the Pope to overturn her bishop, and he wouldn't do it. And so Nancy, if the people could see what I saw, when I saw Nancy Pelosi, who, by the way, her and her husband made their $330 million off insider trading, doing illegal work, insider trading. Everybody knows that. But if they could have saw her at that sodomite parade, everything was filmed, and she stood right next to two bare, naked sodomites, right next to them, a foot away, while they were sodomizing each other. Right in front of her, they were sodomizing each other. And Nancy said, Jesus would be pleased with the way you're showing love to each other. That's what she said right there. That is one wicked, wicked old woman, a very wicked old woman, a very rebellious, wicked old woman. And I got a bad feeling that, you know, she won't, you know how she sat behind Trump and committed treason, tore up his speech?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, ripping up, yes.
Well, do you think Satan's going to keep her in hell, or do you think even he couldn't handle her? I don't know. She's a nasty one.
Well, Pastor Ernie, you just mentioned that stock market scheme that they had with insider trading and all. She'd learned things as the secretary of, as the speaker of the house, and then her husband would go out and do these deals and all. When she, one second after she passes away, what good is that $350 million, Pastor Ernie?
It's not going to do any good, is it?
It's going to condemn her.
All righty. We're coming up to a break. How much time do I have there? Okay. I wanted to say this before we go to the break. I've got a quick little clip we're going to play after the break. And you have a Muslim. Remember I told you not all the Muslims are the same. This fella, he's going to be telling the truth about, you know, what happened there in Israel. And anyhow, but before we went to that, I couldn't believe it. Robert De Niro, a dime store gangster, one who had done him some porn flicks, went to see the Pope. This guy is unbelievable. I mean, the hypocrisy of Hollywood is just unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. So anyhow, I just can't believe it. When we come back, we're going to listen to this clip, and then we have a whole lot more to talk about tonight, so don't go away, folks. There's a whole lot more to come, and we will be back right after this with more. So don't go away. Stay right there.